This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 5, Episode 47, as the trade deadline has come and gone. And I think we have a lot of hopeful and doubtful New York Ranger fans out there. I am going to hold my opinion until we get into the midst of this podcast. But as always, I have to start with Andy. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing good, man. Happy that all the trade deadline speculation is over. And we can finally set our sights on basically the final push for the playoffs and not maybe have to concern ourselves so much on the hypotheticals and will Chris Drury make a fool of himself? Will he get fleeced? Will he knock it out of the park? Will he make a killer addition? You know what I mean? It's just, you can just focus on the hockey now.
Yeah. And, you know, I think most New York Ranger fans were teased a little bit during the whole process over the, you know, especially the last, I'd say 24 to, you know, 48 hours of the trade deadline. A lot of big names getting thrown out there connected to the New York Rangers. But ultimately, you know, I have a perspective that I think may be different than a little bit of other people. But I'm actually very pleased with how Drury kind of handled this trade deadline. And, you know, I know he didn't go after, you know, the big fish there, but you know, I think knowing what I know now, I understand why he was so hesitant to pull the trigger on a guy like, you know, a Getzel, or, you know, even a player like, you know, Buchnevich or a Vetrano. So, you know, Andy, I do really want to get your opinion before I give you, you know, my reasoning.
I mean, I think all things considered, he did a pretty good job. I mean, I guess if I had to, I guess I'll start by giving him a grade. I'd give him a B minus, maybe a B. I mean, it's one of those things where it's a B with the ability to become a B plus or an A minus, depending on how the next, I don't know, I guess how the next few weeks go. We see how well these players fit in. I mean, I think leading up to this, you and I had talked about the merits of how 2 years ago, instead of just going for the big flashy names, he basically just assessed the team's needs and then plugged those holes. And then they went to the Eastern Conference Final. And then last year, even though Kane kind of forced his way here, but, you know, he goes for Tarasenko, who was more of a big flashy fish. And then he does go for Kane, and it didn't really work out in his favor. Whereas maybe if he had just improved the margins of this team, as opposed to like trying to add a premier cog in the wheel, as it were, that it didn't work out so well. So, I mean, and apparently we've also heard about some now as the dust settles on the trade deadline that you basically hear about all the deals that didn't happen. Apparently there was a deal in place for Barabanov from the Sharks to come over here, but then they ended up trading Timo Meier to Vegas at the last hour, you know what I mean? And then using that final retention slot, so making it impossible for the Rangers trade to happen. But yeah, and then you hear conflicting reports that they were in on Gensel, but then there are also some people are saying they weren't even ever that heavy on him. A lot of Buchnevich, maybe they might have asked what the cost was, but weren't ever really serious about it, going back down that road. And judging on how Buchnevich played against the Rangers the other night, maybe he knew that and took it a little personally. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, just based on one game, it looks like he addressed some serious needs in this lineup, and it looks like it worked. I mean, if you can really take too much away from one game against a team that's probably not going to make the playoffs. But I guess now that the dust has settled, I guess I can say, you know, I'm glad he didn't give up a first for Frank Vetrano, first and foremost, or an Adam Henrique. And to get out of this trade deadline still having all of your prospects and a first and your first round pick is pretty amazing. You know, I mean, this team doesn't have any seconds for a while, but that being said, I mean, like, they've been pretty good ever since they've made a concerted effort in the from the 2020 draft to stop basically fucking around with their scouting and their drafting. They've drafted pretty well. I mean, you look at everyone's talking now about essentially their 2020 draft, in which, you know, they get obviously they get Lafreniere, but in the same draft they get Lafreniere, Schneider, Cooley, Rempe, Berard. You know what I mean? You're like, holy! And now it's looking like a killer draft for them. You know what I mean? So, you know, you could even say franchise altering potentially. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy that they still have their first round pick, but that not to say they probably, because honestly, they're probably going to need it if, let's say, this core does an embarrassing job in the postseason this year, and then you have to package it for a player who you think can actually get the job done, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not to go back here, but, you know, I'd give Drury a B+ here. I think he did a really good job, and I think that his hands were tied. You know, if you look at, you know, and they're all obviously just rumors, but if you look at what, you know, was demanded of him to bring in a Getzel, I'm kind of glad he didn't, because I don't think we were a Getzel away from winning the Stanley Cup. You know, I think we're a Getzel and a Mika Zibanejad and a Chris Kreider and a top line away from winning a Stanley Cup. Now, if Mika wakes up and can produce 5-on-5 and that line contributes, you know, that's like the best acquisition that's had all, you know, the whole trade deadline, you know, for any team. It's like, well, you just added a whole first line that doesn't produce 5-on-5. Now they're producing 5-on-5. Holy shit. You know, that's going to be fucking huge for us. You know, and then, you know, depth is a killer in the playoffs. You see it all the time. And if everyone's plays at the level that they're expected to, the Rangers have just as much depth as anybody else in this league. It's just that our superstars are extremely inconsistent and don't show up in the playoffs sometimes. And that's a concern. You know, I looked at it two ways. I said, you know, if Drury felt that this is his last, you know, kick at the can with this core, you know, and he's going to be ousted if, you know, they get knocked out in the first round, I'd say he's stupid not to just spend every asset and go create the best possible team that he can. But, you know, I am fairly confident in saying that Drury knew that his job wasn't on the line. So why go after a big fish, spend, you know, all your prospects and all your picks, and you're going to end up ultimately failing because this core kind of sucks in the playoffs. But, you know, you can look at it this two ways. It was either a punt by Drury and a smart one, or, you know, he thinks that there's, you know, that this core could do it and they don't need another superstar. You know, he kind of throws it in the lap, he now leaves it up to, you know, the Mika Zibanejads, the Chris Kreiders, the Jacob Trubas. It's like, this is your team. You guys are supposed to be the superstars. We don't need to add anybody else. You know, like, if you just start fucking playing like you're supposed to play, we can go out and win playoff series. And, you know, I think the two players that he got up top in, you know, Roslovic and Wennberg, I think is exactly what the doctor ordered. You know, I think those two players and where they're supposed to play in this lineup is going to be huge. You know, Roslovic going to play on the top line. You know, to me, the way, you know, he's a young kid, well, maybe not too young, but, you know, he's, you know, going to get another big contract. So he's going to look to fucking light it up, and he's going to be playing with a lot of energy. And that's exactly what, you know, that line needs. And then you have a guy like Wennberg who's going to be playing with, you know, Kako and Cooley. And, you know, there's another guy that's playing for another contract who's 29 years old, a little bit older than Roslovic, but also a guy that, you know, again, can play two ways, a defensively sound player. And, you know, I kind of like the fact that it gives us a huge amount of depth. And all I want is a first line that could score 5-on-5. A second line that could score 5-on-5, a third line that's a bitch to play against and can suffocate teams, and then a fourth line that can pop in a huge goal every once in a while, but ultimately just chews up minutes. And I think the New York Rangers have that. And I want your thoughts on what the lineup looks like right now, more so for the forwards than the defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think you put it pretty much perfectly. It's just these additions say nothing of whether or not they're flashy. I think the best way to move the needle is just to basically bring in players that, although they themselves might not become drivers on their line, but they basically bring the element that the line is sorely missing. I mean, and as far as Roslovic goes, he brings something this team really needs. I mean, I knew he was fast. I didn't realize he's as fast as he is. And he is just an excellent puck transporter. And honestly, I think for Meek and Kreider, who in the past have been a pretty fast line, at least in terms of their ability to play quickly off the rush, but that's kind of fallen to the wayside a little bit this season. Who knows if it's aging curves or whatever, but he basically brings, he shoots the puck every chance he gets, which is great. Kind of like Vetrano, honestly. And I think there, honestly, you can make an argument that he's essentially the player they did when they got Vetrano 2 seasons ago, right? You get a player who is in a team that's not contending, that has skill and promise, but hasn't really put it all together, but clearly has weapons and the belief that on a better team, that they will produce better. And that's kind of what happened. That's what happened with Vetrano. And we hope that's what happened with Roslovic. And did he have a goal that didn't, like, that went in, but it was missed? Because I saw that he rang one in, it either went off the back bar or went off the, but just wasn't, it was like not caught by the officials. But doesn't matter.
I had to work last night, so I was listening to the game. The only goal that I remember is
a Rempe getting pulled back. Yeah. But I mean, he was absolutely, for a first game, and honestly, I thought everyone A looked better because they had some rest. B, yes. The opponent was kind of, listen, St. Louis has kind of given up, unfortunately. So it was, you know, they were playing, but they clearly weren't giving it their 100% effort. But that being said, the Rangers just played so well. He brought skating and puck possession to that line. He was shooting the puck every chance he get. And honestly, I think Mika started following suit and, you know, just putting pucks on net too. So he looks like a great fit just for what this team needs. I mean, power play 2 gets a goal last night as him and Wennberg kind of slot in. So you have to imagine they might be more comfortable just not just riding power play 1 so heavily now. Power play 1, of course, also had, I think, 2 goals last night, right? But and then Wennberg looks absolutely perfect for that. Honestly, that was the best Rangers' best line last night, I thought.
I agree.
You go back. You put Kako back on the third line where he's been effective. I just think Cooley plays a style that he likes to play. I mean, Mika and Kreider are trying to do their twin magic thing, you know, their Sedin light thing. And it just is not really working. But, you know, they like to kind of rim it to each other from far away and then one of them kind of get in front of the net. But Cooley and Kako like to cycle the puck behind the net and in the corners, but with close support. You know what I mean? And Wennberg's smart. He's not as physical or as gritty as the other two, but, you know, he's a big guy and he can win battles, but he's smart with his positioning and he's like the perfect support third line center, which is kind of what you want. Defensively responsible, draws a penalty, had some really good defensive plays. And is also a good skater. So another good player for the transition of this team that kind of has needed a little bit extra speed in their lineup. And they played faster last night.
Yeah.
But that's also credit to the defenseman who played a much faster game last night too, and assertive.
Yeah. And, you know, this team's coming off a ton of rest. You look at this team and it's night and day sometimes, you know, when they're finally able to get a little bit of rest and, you know, not to say that these players are older, but, you know, like I said, Mika Zibanejad and you know, obviously Trouba's hurt, but like Miller and Fox, you know, those guys, you know, they log a lot of minutes. And for them to get a full week's rest and, you know, play against a Blues team, like you said, that didn't give forth their best effort, You know, all in all, it was kind of like a good warm-up game because we have a huge game coming up. But before we get into that, though, Andy, I do want your thoughts on the fourth line because, you know, everyone knows that come playoff time, everyone seems to talk about, you know, the fourth line of every team. You know, it's just, it's always a storyline. You know, some fourth line is going to go off in the playoffs for some team, you know, but what are your thoughts on the New York Rangers fourth line?
Well, they clearly looked better last night than they've looked in a long time.
Gaudreau looked good after rest.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what you hope is that he can at least maintain that same level of jump in his game in the playoffs. I know it's harder the older you get, especially with the road miles that he has and the amount of playoff, grueling playoff series he's played. But I mean, for the first thing is having Jimmy Vesey on the fourth line. You know, it's a real, it's definitely, he is better than a fourth liner. But that being said, he can really feast on other teams' fourth lines because he has essentially middle six tools, you know what I mean? But plays a defensively responsible game. So he can play in that role and he, you know, he's, you know, a bigger guy too. He's not, and he's got good wheels. So he's not afraid to get in on the forecheck. Rempe, I mean, deserves a segment unto himself. It's just he changes the temperature when he's on the ice, and we saw it in full effect. He played it, you know, at the highest. I think he played 10 minutes last night, which is basically the highest TOI he's had for a single game since getting called up. And he's honestly showing that he can. He's not one dimensional. He can play. I think he led the Rangers in terms of expected goals last night. He made the most of his minutes. He got a reaction from the crowd every time he was on the ice. It made when he was bearing down on the Blues as they were going to retrieve pucks, they were getting tentative and they weren't, they were basically too busy looking over their shoulder than they were focusing on getting on the pucks quickly and getting it out, or they're ready to brace for impact when they could have just made probably rimmed it, or you know what I mean? So he just by his sheer presence alone is making the other team mess up and make mistakes and miss. He had some great defensive plays with a stick. You know, obviously we already spoke about the fact he had a disallowed goal by making a really strong defensive play in his own end, getting it up quick, getting on his horse and getting himself open for a one-timer. He plays the most direct, simple, direct game, but he's got, you know, good enough skating and good enough hands. He's, you know, he can chip the puck and he can basically, you know, chip pucks to his teammates and just go to the net. I mean, and we talk about, you know, it's a little, It sounds like it's something that doesn't require a lot of skill, but it really does, because a lot of it is timing and a lot of it is just being able to stay calm and poised and just put pucks in areas where your teammates can get to it and just know how to space yourself. And his wingspan is so big, he can turn a lot of pucks over. And the fact that he's that big and can skate like the wind is a huge boon for this team. And, you know, everyone's saying it. He's kind of making a case for Edstrom got sent back down, but I think we all thought that even though he's that if Barabanov comes over, he's, you know, he probably goes, Rempe probably goes back down. But as it stands today, if he keeps playing like this, I mean, no reason to really send him down, right?
No, not at all. And the fact that the fan base loves him, he's not hurting you, and he brings just energy. And that's so much what this team needs at times is just a spark. And if he can provide that playing, you know, 10 minutes a night, like I said, man, the fourth line just chew up minutes. And if you can not only chew up minutes, but be a pain in the ass to play against, you know, get a couple scoring chances a game, maybe pop one in every three games, you know, in the playoffs, and then, you know, bring energy and a spark through the lineup. I mean, you can't ask for a better fourth line, you know, and, you know, I know, again, coming off, you know, a long rest, Gaudreau also looked, you know, kind of revitalized. You know, I think hopefully he accepts this role as the fourth line center, knows that, you know, he doesn't need to be playing 15 to 20 minutes a game. You know, he gets 10 minutes. He can go balls to the wall, work as hard as he can, knowing that he's going to sit on the bench for another, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. He's not going to expect to go out, especially during special teams. I mean, obviously, PK is a little bit different, but, you know, he's not going to play 2 minutes for the power play.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
So, yeah, I think it's a good sign. Obviously, the sample size is only one game, and you haven't really played against anybody yet. So, you know, what are your thoughts going into, you know, tomorrow against the New Jersey Devils? And I think we got a back-to-back, right? We got a Monday, Tuesday, Devils, Carolina Hurricanes.
I'll take your word for it.
I believe you do.
Yes, we do. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I only look at the schedule like 16 times a day.
They have a tough... They have a pretty tough week here. You know, you have the Devils and Hurricanes back to back. You have the Lightning on Thursday. And then beyond that, you have, you know, interconference or interdivisional matchups with the Penguins and the Islanders on Saturday, Sunday. So two back to backs in a row with one day off in between. So
yes.
After having basically 4 or 5 days off in the last 2 weeks. You know,
yeah, but crazy. You know, this is it, man. It is what it is.
You know, I mean, luckily for this team, they've banked a good amount of points. I would say they have a pretty good cushion now that they can't get caught by the Hurricanes, who are only 4 points back. But luckily they're in terms of falling out of the playoffs, it would be really hard for them to do. So that's good. But it would be nice to finish first. And I mean, listen, I think the Islanders look like they're going to win again tonight. Detroit is literally cratering. The Islanders have 2 games in hand on Detroit.
Here's the thing, though, Andy, what people are not talking about. The Islanders are not going for the wild card. The Islanders are going for third place. I think the Flyers are on their way out. Islanders are going to slot into the third slot.
Yeah. You know? And honestly, I'm looking at the Capitals. They have 69 points with 62 games played. I mean, it's not so crazy that those two teams could make the playoffs and then the Flyers and the Red Wings could fall out of it.
Yeah, I think the Flyers are definitely done. I know they've been playing without Konechny for the last like 8 games. But to me, they're a team that, you know, obviously fucking, what's his name, got thrown out of the game the other night or last night.
Tortorella.
Torts. And,
suspended 2 games and fined $5,000.
Yeah, to me, I just think, you know, it's going to be tough for them. It really is. Down the stretch, I think for them to find consistency is going to be tough. I mean, who knows, though? This is a team that fucking... could lose 6 in a row and then win 6 in a row. So you never know what you're going to get out of this team.
Carolina is absolutely dummying Calgary right now.
Yeah.
7-2.
Calgary is another team that, you know, what are they playing for?
Yeah, exactly. I think you're going to see a lot of that. The teams that are truly out of it are just literally, we saw it last night probably, you know, with St. Louis. It's just... it's like, what's the point? Exactly. You know, they're thinking about where they're going to take their, their significant others or their buddies for in the off season.
Exactly. And, you know, again, for the New York Rangers, I think
Colin Blackwell hat trick. I'm sorry. I'm just seeing all this crazy stuff roll in. Hey, former Ranger Colin Blackwell with a hat trick. Good for him.
Yeah. But I think, you know, again, for the New York Rangers, I'm not so much concerned about the one seed because I think no matter, you know, no matter what, it's kind of the same path. You know, they should be able to beat whoever gets the third seed in the Metro, or they should be able to beat either wildcard team. I'm not, you know, Tampa, you know, obviously anything could happen. You know, Tampa obviously scares me. I mean, I don't know how you could be a true Ranger fan and not look at the Tampa Bay Lightning and kind of go, you know, gulp a little bit, you know. It's fucking, they've only shut us out at home, you know, in elimination games. They came back from a 2-0, you know, deficit, and then a 2-0 goal deficit in game three to come back and just slaughter us. So, yeah, it's just like the scars of my past won't allow me to be confident against certain teams. But other than that, you know, Andy, do you have anything else? I mean, we, you know, obviously they're going to be battle tested the next coming weeks. The team looks good. I know we didn't get the big fish, but we didn't really spend anything at trade deadline and we got better. So, you know, it really depends on how you value a late third round draft pick. And I don't really value it that high. So those are just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's one of those things where some teams are really good at hitting in late rounds and they absolutely squander their first round picks. You know, I think Tampa's been a team like that. Or, you know, you have teams like Dallas that just are so good at they're just good at drafting, period. They just find value everywhere. But, yeah, I mean, considering where this team's at, it's good they have their first round pick, because I think we're starting to understand it with Kako and Lafreniere and how long it's kind of taken them to come along, although they're finally coming on. At first, we're like, well, as fans of this fan base or this team, you're just basically like, well, then what's the point of first round picks? But all of a sudden, you see Cooley step in and make immediate impact. Schneider is now potentially our third or second best defender on any night. Cooley is, you know, an impact player. Lafreniere finally putting the piece together. Kako, Brett Berard is one of the best young players in the AHL. You know what I mean? He's not even going to get a call up. And you have Brendan Othman, who, you know, is still doing really well in his first AHL season, not lighting the world on fire, but he's kind of right behind Berard in points. And he's clearly a natural goal scorer who plays with an edge. And now you have Rempe and Edstrom, and all of a sudden you're kind of looking and say, you know what? When we do move on from the Kreiders and the Zibanejads of the world, it's like, maybe it isn't that bleak. You know what I mean? Maybe there is... can be a, you know, transition period at some point. You know, I mean, especially being the New York Rangers, you never want to bank on this, but if Zibanejad was gone from this team and they had cap space, I think it's more common these days to see these big ticket players want to go or find changes of scenery. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's obviously shown me the value of just trying to hold on to your first round picks if possible. I mean, if you're going for it, you're going for it. But I think if the deal makes sense, you go for it. Like if the Rangers could have truly gotten Jake Guentzel, yeah, and they had to give up a first prospect, it's like, you know.
Let's do a little hypothetical here.
Sure.
What would have
I given up for Jake Guentzel? Is that what you're saying? I would have given up. Well, all right. So first of all, let's see what Jake Guentzel went for, and let's try to find an analog for that, right? So Jake Guentzel trade, the full trade is with Guentzel with 25% retained, right?
Yes.
Okay, so I just literally had it. Sorry, Guentzel. Okay, here we go. All right, so, and Ty Smith. So I guess that's a salary thing, right? Because Ty Smith doesn't really have much value.
Right.
So Michael Bunting, who's an NHL Now player, which I assume Kako would be the analog there, I guess.
Yeah.
So Ville Koivunen, Vasily Panamarev, Cruz Lucius, a first round pick, and a conditional fifth. Okay, so it's basically a first three pretty good prospects and an NHL player. So it would be a first, Kako. I would say Othman is better than those three, or at least has more value than those three players. That being said, I would say those three players are probably like Berard level prospects, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
So it'd be like it would be like a first Kako. You'd probably do Othman to balance it a little bit, and Berard.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't like this trade at all. But listen, Gensel is legitimately that good. He's just so smart, and he's so productive, and he just knows how to be effective, and he's like a point per game in the playoffs, you know, so you got to give to get. That being said, that's, you know, it's a lot to give up, but luckily Carolina has been drafting well for forever, and they will continue to draft well and be smart and make shrewd moves because, you know, their front office is so small and their analytics department is so heavily tied into it, and they just draft. They have a great scouting department. So, but I mean, would I do all that for Gensel as a rental? No.
Yeah. That's, dude,
they're doing this as a rental.
Bingo.
I mean, I will say this. I could see Carolina trading Nietzsche's for a first round pick in the summer. Maybe that's the Rangers do that. Maybe they trade him to New York, but you know, to get some salary out. And they'll probably might find a way to, you know, sign Jake, depending on how well he plays. But the Rangers do not have the cap space to do that. So it's a rental and it's not good. But so I think considering what they had to do, I'm glad they didn't give it up, because really it would only make sense if it was Buchnevich back this year or next year with, you know, only with retention, only costing what it would probably get him down to, what, like $2.5 million. I would 100% do it, because that's 2 years, two kicks at the can. You know what I mean?
Right.
And at some point, maybe Kreider's out by the time, and you can then re-sign Buchnevich. So.
Yeah.
But for Gensel, who's as a rental, I don't know. No. Man. And yes, it's easy to say that in hindsight when you didn't get him. But well, I think at the time, it's just you're obviously like, well, hopefully, God, this he puts us over the edge. But I think when you understand that this team has had more success just – I think we said it going into the last podcast, for better or for worse, this is the team and this is the core. So you basically fill in the margins and you allow them to, all right, can you do it? Did we put our faith in the right horses? And if not, you'll basically have 100% you know, certainty that this is not the core that's going to get it done. You're not bringing in Kane and Tarasenko to help take the flak off or put him over the top or whatever. You're just saying, like, you had a chance to get it done. You didn't. So now we have to make some big changes because we have a whole slew of young, hungry guys to come up. And maybe we'll take a slight step back, but it's the hope that we can take steps forward in the future. You know what I mean? With the players that can actually get the job done. So I guess that's my feeling on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, basically my closing thought on this whole trade deadline is that, you know, what the price of Gensel was, you know, the fact that Kako would have had to been included in that. No, thanks. And like, cause that just is another hole. So now you're getting rid of Kako for a rental. Now you have no depth on your bottom six. You know, you're asking, you know, everyone's like, well, just call up Bedstrom, Rempe, like all the, like, that's not going to work in the playoffs. Like, Rempe playing 10 minutes a game in the playoffs could work. But those guys playing third line minutes in the NHL playoffs, you think that's going to work against Florida? Think that's going to even work against Tampa? It's like, that shit, that's not going to work. You need experience. You need a shit ton of NHL depth, and the New York Rangers have it. You know, if you want your call-ups to come play 10 minutes a game, perfect. But other than that, you know, they're not worthless. They're just not seasoned yet. You know, we didn't get rid of any prospects, you know, and, you know, for the New York Rangers to walk away from this with improving the team and not really spending anything worth anything, a third round pick, you know, but if we go to the Eastern Conference final, people, you know, teams would kill to spend a third round pick and go to the Eastern Conference final. So, and I do think the Rangers are still able to compete against the Carolina Hurricanes. I think the New York Rangers can compete against the Florida Panthers, the Boston Bruins, the Tampa Bay Lightnings. They can compete. It's up to the boys that were already on our roster. You know, if you look at Mika Zibanejad is an $8.5 million player. Chris Kreider is a 40+ goal scorer pretty much every year, $6.5 million player. Artemi Panarin, 11.6 those guys have to show up. If those guys don't show up, it doesn't matter if we have Getzel. It doesn't matter if we have Buchnevich. It doesn't matter if we bring in every single fucking depth player that there, you know, there was available at the deadline. If those three players don't go up front, we are going to lose in the first round, period. And you can look at on the back end, same thing. Jacob Trouba makes $8 million, you know, to play hockey. If he doesn't play like an $8 million player, we're not going anywhere. Same with Fox, $9.5 million.
Well, not to, I know you're trying to wrap this up, but not to cut you off, but there was a little bit of an elephant in the room after this last game, which is how well the Rangers played defensively, how good the pairing of Schneider and Miller looked together. And honestly, Zach Jones looked pretty great. And granted, again, this is a one game sample size with rest and jump post deadline versus a team that's basically out of it. You know what I mean? So grain of salt. But that being said, Trouba's going to be out two to three weeks with a lower body injury. So yeah, we're going to get a pretty good example of what this team can look like defensively without him. And let's say they are excellent without him. When he comes back, what do you do then? Does he slot into the third pairing? Yes. You put him on the third with Gustafsson?
It won't happen, but that's exactly what you do.
And, honestly, you know, it makes sense. Gustafsson is a puck mover, which is what Trouba struggles with the most. So, probably for the best. And especially because he's a kind of a risk-reward kind of defenseman anyway, it's best to mitigate his minutes because, God, Schneider and Miller looked really good last night. I mean, Fox looked incredible too. You know, he looked like Adam Fox, like when, you know, he's on his game. Like, you could barely touch him just because he's faking people out and just making slick moves and, you know, and with that, the people in front of him.
I don't really care where we end up in the standings. It'd be great to win, but can we rest Adam Fox? Can we rest Trouba? Can we rest these guys? Like, we have enough defensemen to platoon. I say it every single day. The smartest thing the NBA does is rest their players because they know how valuable it is to have those players healthy and fresh for the playoffs. And like the same, I don't know, you know, how the fucking cap works now after the trade deadline, but like if Mika misses a game, is it the biggest thing in the world to get that guy a fucking an extra few days of rest? I don't think so. Who cares? He doesn't do anything 5-on-5 anyway. I'm sure the power play will survive one game without him. Let's rest some of these guys, platoon some players, get them in there, get Brzezinski in there, and we'll figure it out. Stick Gaudreau in the first line for a little bit, you know? Because you know, he's only going to be playing 10 minutes a game anyway now. But yeah, I'll let you wrap it up here, Andy, because I'm going to turn into too negative if we if we keep going here.
Yeah, well, on a positive note, this team is looking pretty good post-deadline. It looks like, at least from early returns on the players they've acquired are good. I mean, maybe we'll see Ruedel slot in here somewhere in the next few games. But yeah, I mean, much like us, the Rangers only just have to look forward. And I don't think they're going to be perfect these next few games. I assume their record will kind of be up and down. But yeah, I mean, at the very least, Igor looks dialed in. The third line looks dialed in. The second line is going to be as good as always. The fourth line finally has come together. It only took all season. And Roslovic looks like a good fit for the first line. And if that clicks in, then all of a sudden you have four good lines and your D pair is playing well and it should be good. So no excuses, though, because the teams right on your heels are basically rolling right now and everyone's hungry. You know, Devils are hungry to get in. Carolina's hungry to unseat the Rangers from that top spot, especially after the splashes that they've made. So yeah, like I said, there's no excuses, but luckily the Rangers have a whole new energy coming out of the trade deadline. Some of it's Matt Rempe, some of it's their newly acquired players, but I think for the most part it's that they can finally see, you know, at least the finish line for the race that is the regular season, and then hopefully they can then start their run to Lord Stanley's Cup.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Voice Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Voice Pod
And please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.